Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbeer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. And Dr. Stu, it's over. Or at least it should be over. How you feeling?
Yes, I'm doing all right. You know, it's cold here. I don't really love that. It went from 66 degrees on Sunday to now like 17 to 20 degrees. Not enjoying that. But I guess it does feel like December now. Anyway, yes, you're right. It's over. Fantasy's done, basically. Week 17 has come and gone. Congratulations to all of you that have won championships. I hope that it was all of you. It wasn't all of you. Ethan, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I backed the wrong horse, I guess. Just was a bad week. But, oh well. Feeling good. Going to talk through week 18, have a relaxed episode. I'm going to drink my way through this one, James. Mourn the passing of 2025 fantasy football. But before we get into week 18, how are you doing tonight? Are you a little less depressed than I am?
Probably not. I lost a pretty big league championship last night, thanks to Bijan Robinson. So I'm gonna be joining you in drinking through this one. I guess we're gonna be drinking at the front and the back of this episode. Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Yeah, so for Christmas, a lot of times people don't know what to get for me, so they just get me like sweets or alcohol. This is one of the latter. This is a Sun Crush tequila cocktail from Monaco. 9% alcohol by volume. It's orange flavored. Tastes like orange soda, but you can taste the tequila in it. And that's what I'll be sipping on through this. What about you, James?
I am drinking a strong bourbon and Pepsi. But I'll have a more interesting beer after this. One I've been saving for a few weeks. It's a special one, but we'll get to that later. But for those of you who just finished up your fantasy seasons, congratulations on completing the season. I guess we should be congratulating the champions. So I lift up my drink to all of you who came out of this season victorious. We salute you. If you were not victorious, that's most of you. That's all right. We recover, we get right back into it, and we prepare to win next year. It hurts, and you get exactly, well, normally I'd say you get 1 week to mourn, and then it's on the next season. But for fantasy football, it doesn't really work that way. You get, like, until April to mourn. And then after the NFL draft, we begin again in earnest. So, from this point, we look more to the actual NFL season as it goes along. We got 1 more week of the regular season with a few crazy people out there doing your fantasy championships on the week when there are only 4 teams really playing for anything. And then it's just watching football like normal people, which is hard to switch to. But for those of you paying attention to who is eliminated and who is not, the eliminated teams are the Colts, Vikings, Dolphins, Lions, Bengals, Chiefs, Falcons, Browns, Saints, Titans, Commanders, Jets, Cardinals, Raiders, and Giants. There are 4 teams who are left that are neither clinched for the playoffs or eliminated, and they are the Steelers, Panthers, Ravens, and Buccaneers. And those 4 teams are playing each other. On Saturday, we'll get the Panthers and Buccaneers, which I will be responsible for tackling today. And on Sunday night, the Ravens and Steelers will be playing, which Stu will get later. But we are going to do our best to give you a rundown of the games this week. It's made a little bit more difficult by the fact that this is the biggest week for teams to bench their starters. So there's a good chance that we say some names that don't end up playing. Honestly, this is the week when if you choose to have your championship here, it matters the most for you to be on your game looking at free agency before the game. There's a good chance that you have multiple starters in your lineup who were not owned the week before. And that's kind of just going to be ones who you're going to have to look at in the days and hours before the game. But let's kick it off. I am responsible for beginning our Saturday night game, or sorry, Saturday afternoon game between the Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so I will kick us off there. In this one, we travel to Tampa, where the Bucs are 2.5-point favorite as the home team. And starting with the Panthers, they have had really one of the most interesting comeback stories of the season. They went in being looked at as one of the worst teams in the NFL and are now in a win-and-get-in situation against their division rivals, the Buccaneers. And I think a lot of people are really interested to see how this game goes, especially because the Bucs have been kind of a disappointment. So I could see this as a true pick'em. The Panthers are kind of young and hungry between Bryce Young having a breakout season more for football than for fantasy. And there's Baker who has struggled on the other side. So starting with the Panthers, Bryce Young is still probably not startable. But if there was going to be a week all season when you were going to do it in a win and get in game, this is a very interesting one to do it. Last week, he didn't play great against the Seahawks, but it's the Seahawks. What do you really expect? Rico Dowdle for the Panthers last week was, you know, not great. He didn't do a lot on the ground or through the air. He had 59 rushing yards on the day. But again, that's against an extremely good defense. I would expect him to do quite a bit more against the Buccaneers and maybe see a little bit more Chuba Hubbard there as well. Tet McMillan was non-existent last week. He had one catch for 5 yards. I wouldn't start him either. Any guys in this game who you are really looking for are mostly going to be on the Bucs. Baker Mayfield, I would only really be looking at him because of the fact that we know he's going to start. There's no other real significant options for the Bucs. I mean, obviously, they're not going to sit their starters in a win and get in game. So, Baker, the situation is there for a start, but if you're a Baker owner, you're probably a little bit annoyed by the fact that you still have him. Bucky Irving had a day to forget against Miami. I believe he had 19 total yards on the ground, and it wasn't much better through the air. The only people I'm really looking at to start here, I know Chris Godwin had a very good game against Miami. That's whatever, that's against Miami. In a big game like this, you need to lean on your stars, and I think that's Mike Evans here. He did have a touchdown last week. I like starting Mike Evans. I like considering Baker, and that's about it for me. Stu, take us to San Francisco.
Yes, we've got divisional matchups. Seahawks and 49ers. We're playing for the NFC West, or even the number one seed in the NFC. So these two teams do have, you know, a healthy distaste for each other and a little bit to play for. The 49ers have been on quite the heater. If they are not currently owned in your league, you need to be getting them on your team for this game upcoming, especially Brock Purdy, who's been really, really balling out in the last couple weeks. He'd be winning your Week 18 championship just like he won people's Weeks 17 championships last week. Big thing to watch out for is George Kittle, who did end up missing Week 17 with his ankle injury. I personally would think that they would hold him out leading up to the playoffs, but maybe they throw him out there. He's a tough competitor and maybe get some reps before the playoffs start properly. Then you've got the other wide receivers, Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall. Jennings is fine as a flex target. Pearsall, I don't really trust as far as I can throw him. And then the running back, Christian McCaffrey, running back 1 on the season. You play him no matter what. On the other side, we've got the Seahawks. I just feel the joy in our voices, James. Oh my God, Week 18's the worst. Just watch regular football like a real person. Talk to your commissioners and get Week 17 championships, or even earlier than that. This Week 18 is a desolate wasteland for fantasy football. JSN's in your lineup. Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker, sure, absolutely. No Shaheed, no Cup, no Darnold. That's the Seahawks. They win by defense or they won't win at all, James. Next up on your docket, the Vikings and Packers.
All right. So we have a team that is fully eliminated versus a team that is in and cannot go any higher or I think lower than they are right now as the seventh seed. The seventh seed is the Packers. They have nothing to play for. Nor do the Vikings, who are eliminated and frankly could use a little bit of help from losing. So, I have not heard whether or not any players from these teams will be actually sitting, but I have seen a lot of memes suggesting that the Packers are going to bench the entire franchise this week. So, just be advised there. If they play, I really don't think you're going to see more than a drive or two out of them to probably get some, like, incentive bonuses. So I'm not going to endorse, like, your obvious Josh Jacobs this week or anything like that. I'm just going to say blanket, let's probably say no to the Packers. Unless you want to throw out Josh Jacobs because you think in that first drive he's going to break a 70-yard touchdown, that's fine. But understand what we're getting into here. On the other side for the Vikings, I believe, is it J.J. McCarthy starting this week, or is he... He would not start this week.
I think they should start him. If he's at all healthy, he should. I don't even remember if they actually found a fracture in his hand, or if it was like a hairline fracture or something like that. I don't remember.
I don't know. Regardless of what they do with nine or with whoever else is out there, don't. Aaron Jones had a very good week last week. Scored a touchdown, got you, I believe, 18 PPR points, something like that. You can probably continue with that if he plays. Man, this entire matchup is just like a non-interesting malaise. I want nothing to do with either of these teams this week, and I'm just going to say, let's not talk about them, Stu. How about the Colts and Texans,
oh,
baby?
Oh, boy. Aren't we excited for the Colts to travel to the Texans? It's going to be a slaughter. It was announced that Phillip Rivers is not starting for Indianapolis. It's going to be Riley Leonard, which, of course, means that only Jonathan Taylor merits start consideration in Week 18. I mean, the Colts weren't even very good on offense with Phillip Rivers, but it was fine, and now it's just going to be worse. So they're also going up against one of the best defenses in the league. They're going to get slaughtered, and then, thankfully, this whole season will be over. On the flip side, you can go ahead and start C.J. Stroud. I mean, the Texans have, like, seeding to play for. It's not completely hopeless. They're not going to be benching their starters, I don't believe. So you could throw out the Nico Collinses and the Woody Markses if he's healthy. He ran for 19 attempts last game, so he should be just fine. Dalton Schultz, absolutely. I mean, that's fine, too. Just play everybody against this awful, horrid Indianapolis defense, James. The line for this game, it reflects these words. The Colts are 10.5-point underdogs with an over-under of 38.5. So not exactly one of the barn burner games of Week 18 in the NFL. Why don't you go ahead and talk about another one that's going to be amazing, Browns and Bengals.
All right, so for as silly as this is, this actually has a chance to be one of the better games of the week. And yes, both of these teams are long eliminated. The Browns are 4-12. The Bengals are 6-10. No chance to make the playoffs. The Browns also not in contention for like the number one pick or anything, but they do have a good shot at getting one of the earlier picks. But thinking about the way these teams and these coaches have talked about this matchup going into this week, the Bengals have made it clear that they intend to start everybody. And they intend to play to win this week, which is a good sign for fantasy football, especially for your Bengals. So your Joe Burrow, who is confirmed to start, great play this week, even against a tough Browns defense. Jamar Chase is a start. T. Higgins is a start. Chase Brown is a start. I feel good about all of those guys, again, even against this tough Browns defense. And let's not overlook the fact that the Browns are a very young team who are playing for something here. Yes, you are going to be without Quinshon Judkins, and there wasn't really anything that super interesting going on at the running back position outside of that. But you do know that Shadur has to feel like he's playing for his job here. Not that the Browns are going to go out and look that hard at early quarterbacks. I'm not sure really what this quarterback class is going to be looking like this year. But Shadur is not safe. He knows that. Everyone knows that. So he is going to do his best and is definitely going to give Harold Fannin a fighting shot at being a very important piece to your fantasy roster here for your Week 18 championship. So Harold Fannin gets my stamp of approval. All of those Bengals I mentioned get a stamp of approval. It, no matter what I say about Shadur, don't start him. Just know that he's going to be playing for something. So, Stu, take us to yet another meaningless game, the Cowboys and the Giants.
Yeah, I wonder if Deshaun Watson coming back, what that does for the Browns. But that's a next year question. So we've got
how everyone has just completely forgot Deshaun Watson exists.
I haven't. He still breathes air. The New York Giants are playing host to the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. The Cowboys are 3.5-point road favorites with an over-under 51.5. We're expecting points to be scored, and I would expect most of them to be on the Dallas Cowboys side. So while CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens have been pretty disappointing recently, I think you could still throw those guys out there. Why not, right? Like, I mean, it's the Giants. The Giants were in contention for the number one overall selection. I think they're sitting at number two right now because they beat the Raiders last week, but, you know, they're not a very good team. Ferguson, tight end, Jake Ferguson, let's go ahead and sit him. Dak Prescott, go ahead and start him. And then the running backs. So Javonte Williams was knocked out of last week's game against Washington with a shoulder injury. Personally, I don't see the merit of throwing him out there. And that makes Malik Davis very, very interesting. You can run on these Giants, and I do think the Dallas Cowboys will be up. So they're going to want to run some clock out. Should get a lot of opportunities for Malik Davis. So he is very much going to be out there on your free agencies and your waivers. So that's a name you should be aware of and take a look at if you need some level of like a Josh Jacobs replacement, because there's no way they play him, right? I mean, I don't know what the Packers are going to do, but the Packers have lost three straight games to roll into the playoffs as a 5, 6, or 7 seed, losing four straight. They're just going to get bounced in the first round. Anyway, we're not even talking about them. On the other side, the Giants, Jackson Dart, definitely go ahead and start him. The Dallas Cowboys are still historically awful against the quarterback position, and then the Giants finally let Dart kind of loose a little bit against Las Vegas. So I would expect him to be a good play this week. And then Tracy, sure, if you want to. Wandale Robinson, sure, if you want to. I'm going to finally not recommend Theo Johnson, who's been sick and underperforming for a little bit, so let's just sit him down for the rest of the 2025 fantasy season. James, the next game on the docket. Oh, good, it's meaningless. Falcons and Saints.
All right, we have the New Orleans Saints playing against their divisional rival, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, from what I can tell via quick Google, Twitter searching, both of these teams plan to play their starters. Again, with this not really meaning much to these teams, I'm not sure what who is going to play and who isn't and how long they're going to play. But I will say that if you're going to take anybody seriously in this one, it's going to be Falcons. Well, I mean, also Chris Olave, but it all depends on who is resting and who is not. Saints don't have much to play for. Falcons, I feel like they're kind of playing for respect at this point, for a shot to tie in the NFC South. But start your Bijan Robinson, start your Drake London, start your Kyle Pitts. That's really about it. Darnell Mooney is a no. Tyler Algier is a no. You can't trust Kirk Cousins. Over on the Saints, obviously Chris Olave is a start. Juwan Johnson, I would say probably not this week, unless for some reason Chris Olave can't go. Tyler Shuck, I would say it's fair to say he's been better than expected. Stu, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Offensive rookie of the year, probably?
Good shot, for sure. Tyler Shuck, good on him. Looking forward to see what he does in year two. I think he's going to remain the starter going into next year. That's about all I got on this one. Falcons are three-point favorites. It could be more than that, but I feel like the Saints are a young team who are also out here fighting for respect. So, Stu, take us to Titans Jaguars.
Yes, Jaguars playing host to the Titans as they finally mercifully end their season. They are 12.5 point favorites. The Jaguars are at home with an over-under 47.5. The Jaguars have a very widespread playoff picture. I think they can be as high as 1 or as low as 7 or something like that. There's outside possibilities for the extremes, of course. They have a lot of things that would need to go right to be the 1 seed, not the least of which Broncos and Patriots both losing. So they do have something to play for. They go up against a soft team in Tennessee, so the Trevor Lawrences, Trevor Etienne's, Parker Washington's, maybe even Jacoby Myers, all merit some level of start consideration. Go ahead and drop Brian Thomas Jr. Not super interested in him at this point. And Bashil Tuten, rookie running back, has been injured a little bit. They're probably going to try to keep him healthy for the playoffs and not play him too much this week. For the Titans, it's really just Tony Pollard or bust. Like I mentioned in weeks past, he's got these contract riders that if he produces, he's going to make a bunch of money. The only other one that merits any level of consideration is perhaps Chimere Dike. I know Chig Okonkwo had a really long, nice touchdown. He's got touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. I still don't trust it. He's just not that great at football, so I don't think you want him in your Week 18 lineups. James, the next game, Patriots and Dolphins, I think?
Dolphins, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we're flying through this one. This is actually one of the games that does mean something for us this week. So if you have Patriots or Dolphins, these are guys who you want to be looking for. The reason why this matters, obviously the Patriots have clinched the playoffs, but they are fighting for the number one seed here. If they win and the Broncos lose, then they will have that first round bye, and which is obviously something every team wants. The Dolphins, while they have been eliminated for a while now, they are, you could say they are legitimately fighting for something. There has still not been any word on Mike McDaniel whether or not he will be fired or not. Just earlier this month saying that this is going to be the month that decides whether or not Mike McDaniel gets to keep his job or not. And the fact that he hasn't been fired, I think, speaks to the fact that they want to see how he finishes the season. And if you can get guys to get up for a meaningless game against a hated division rival, I think that says a lot about your grasp on the locker room. And that has been the big question with Mike McDaniel throughout this year. Can he motivate guys? So this game does mean something, and the Patriots are 10.5 point favorites. That's probably a fair line. But let's take a look at the Dolphins and what they got here. Quinn Ewers is still starting. He got rocked last week. He is not a legitimate quarterback for fantasy football. He's still got to develop to see what he does in the NFL. I don't think he's probably legitimate, but we'll see. The guy you need to have here is Devon Achane. He is an all-world guy. He is very, very good at football. The other is Jaylen Waddle, who did not play very well last week. If you had him on your championship teams, you were probably sorely missing a good amount of points, and I am sorry that happened to you. But coming back this week against a very tough Patriots defense, if you are a Week 18 championship league for some reason, which I'm just going to reiterate what Stu and I have been saying all day here, don't do that. He is going to be a fine start for you, I believe. Darren Waller, I don't trust him. I don't think you can either. Let's go over to the Patriots. Drake May is an obvious auto start here. Get him in your lineups. We saw in the game last week between the Patriots and I'm trying to remember who they played last week. I watched that game. The Jets. We saw a very, very big game from Ramondre Stevenson. He had two touchdowns, one rushing, one on the ground. And while he was outpaced on yardage by Travion Henderson on the ground, Ramondre, as like the two-sided approach here, ground and air, ended up outproducing Travion. So while we were correct that Travion Henderson got twice the touches that Ramondre Stevenson did, Ramondre Stevenson got, well, infinite more touchdowns because he got two and Travion got none. So this has been the stupid thing that we've had to deal with all year. We thought it was over. We thought Travion Henderson was the clear-cut RB1, and here we are in Week 18, Stu, a week that does not matter, in a game that kind of matters, trying to figure out what to do with these running backs.
Just start them.
Start them both. Start them both.
Why not?
It's dumb. It's dumb. Vrabel, pick a guy.
Pick a lane, Vrabel.
Pick something. That's about it for Stephon Diggs is here. Hunter Henry is here.
Stephon Diggs might be a criminal for choking
he's not,
someone.
Yeah, I believe he's. Has there been an official suspension on that?
No. I think he got engaged, though, after last week's game.
What the heck?
So, big ups and then big downs for Stephon Diggs in his regular life.
Week 18, baby. Let's go. Stu, take... What the hell is this? Stu, take us to Vegas.
Am I allowed to refuse? Can we just not play this game? Are we kidding? The third stringer chief quarterback against the number one overall pick Raiders. The Chiefs are 5.5-point favorites, over under 36.5. Yeah, this game will be held. I don't think it will be watched. Travis Kelce? Sure.
Possible last game.
Possible last game. That's something probable. Last game. On the other side, Ashton Jeanty. Travis Kelce, Ashton Jeanty. We did it, everyone. Bears and Lions, James.
Okay, this is actually also one that kind of matters for us. The Bears are playing for something here. It's mostly just, are they going to be the 2 seed or the 3 seed or something like that? The Lions, although they are eliminated, Dan Campbell has said they are not going to be resting their starters. They're going to be trying to win the last game of the season. So this is a game that sort of matters to us for fantasy. Jared Goff, the perpetual matchup-dependent streamer, this is not a week to use him. Jahmyr Gibbs, this is a week to use him, because you cannot take him out of your lineup if he is starting. Amon-Ra St. Brown, cannot take him out of your lineup if he is starting. Jameson Williams was a guy who we wholeheartedly endorsed last week, and he has wholeheartedly been bad last week. I still think that his upside is too high to ignore. He's a start for me. Stu, you may disagree with that, but I'm moving on to the Bears here. Caleb Williams has become him. He is a stud. You will start him from now on. And he is going to be a top... Okay, Stu, let's try this. Next year, in 2026, Caleb Williams is a top blank quarterback. Go.
10.
Top 10? I'll go top 7. And in 2025, he is going to be a top 9 play this week. We'll go with that.
Top 9. There we go.
Yep. DeAndre Swift, I think, should be an auto start here. Kyle, the fun guy, Manung guy, is not startable for you this week, but his boy is his name fun to say. I'm not looking at any Bears wide receivers or tight ends, so Stu, take us to Western New York.
Yes, so we've got the Bills and the Jets in another amazing game. Josh Allen still nursing that foot injury. He's gotten x-rays after the last two games. I don't know if you're still alive in your playoffs if you had Josh Allen, because it's been pretty bad the last couple weeks. I guess he wasn't awful against Philadelphia, but he really should have had that last throw. I don't know if the Buffalo Bills have a whole lot to play for. I would maybe question whether Josh Allen's going to be playing. James Cook is still in your lineups, but I don't think anybody else in Buffalo is going to be out there. If Josh is active, of course, you have to put him in your lineup, because if he blows up on your bench and you lose because of that, like, what are you even doing? On the Jets side, I feel like I'm saying three sentences, if that, for all of these things. But, I mean, the Jets are just a circle of suck, and Breece Hall is hurt, so he was the only, like, decent thing in their entire organization, and now he's hurt. I don't know why you throw him out there, but if he's active, sure, play him. But, good Lord, the Jets are just... bad.
They're kind of, yeah. Really,
oh my
really
God.
Bad.
I don't want to talk about these teams in week 18. I just want to drink, I guess. I don't know, James. Talk about the Eagles and Commies.
Wow, that was that entire game right
now. Oh, yeah. You know, sorry. Sorry. The Bills are 7-point favorites with an over under of 38.5. What do you want from me? This is the Jets in week 18.
Now, I know that there are more professional fantasy podcasts breaking down week 18 for you, putting in a little bit more effort for us, but this is what you should get in your breakdowns if you have a week 18 championship.
Give me one more fantasy relevant player that I did not talk about from this game. One.
No,
give me one.
It.
There's none.
Just this is what week 18 is, and you should be drinking through it, and it should be crazy because you should not be playing your championships in week 18, people. You know this, we know this, everyone knows this. I got Commies Eagles. All right, at the link, the Eagles are 6.5-point favorites in this. If Stu, do you have any friends?
No.
Well, yes, you do have friends. Have you talked? have you talked to any friends who are Eagles fans about this season recently?
No, but I could text one if you wanted me to.
In my experience, anytime you talk to an Eagles fan about the Eagles this season, if you would just hear them talking about the team, you would have thought they were like 0-16. They were eliminated months ago, but the Eagles are fighting for the number 2 seed in the NFC, and this is a divisional rival who they greatly dislike. The Commies have had a season from hell and are probably not playing for much here. So, I'm going to give you a blanket sit across all Commies. For the Eagles, I'll give you a blanket start. Jalen Hurts is a start. Saquon Barkley is a start. AJ Brown is a start. Dallas Goedert is a start. Devontae Smith because the rest of the league may be a little bit depleted, gets elevated to a start as well. These games are going so quick. Stu, Cardinals-Rams.
Yeah, Cardinals-Rams. So the Rams are hosting, and I think they are 7.5-point favorites with an over-under of 46.5. The Rams, for their part, are not playing for a whole lot. Sean McVay has already come out and said that they need better rhythm on offense or something, or they're just not playing well overall, and that they're going to play their starters. Take that for what it's worth. Sean McVay is not very honest with the media. But Stafford, I would say throw him out there. He was exceptionally disappointing against Atlanta last night. So that sucks. But if you're still alive against the Cardinals, you can throw him out there. Devontae Adams, I still don't expect to be playing. Puka's out there because he is the best wide receiver who is speed running his diva arc. And then Kyron Williams is a start as well. Blake Corum, the backup running back, left last week with a leg injury. I wouldn't expect to see him out there much, if at all. And then tight end, we've got Colby Parkinson. You could throw him out there in the absence of really anything else. Be fine with it, truthfully. On the other side, we've got the Cardinals, the illustrious Arizona Cardinals. Trey McBride, tight end one, the only tight end worth reaching for in your drafts. If you got him, congratulations. Also as a start is Michael Wilson, who is the Marvin Harrison Jr. that we thought Marvin Harrison Jr. was. MHJ is a sit. Jacoby Brissett, I think you could throw Jacoby Brissett out there in an emergency, but I would hope that if you're in the championship, you're not experiencing too many emergencies at quarterback. And then Michael Carter. People were starting Michael Carter last week in their championships. I never really understood that personally, but don't do it this time around. I think we know what Michael Carter is. James, your last one of 2025. The Broncos and the Justin Herbertless Chargers.
2 mile high we go, where the Broncos are 11.5-point favorites. If you're going in playing without Justin Herbert, it is probably a good idea to downgrade everybody else on the Chargers. But this is a game that is being played legitimately for something. Both of these teams are playoff teams. The Broncos are fighting for the number one seed. Right now, they currently have it. So if they win, they are the number one seed. The Chargers are a wild card team. They have clinched their spot. They are fighting for which wild card seed they get. They're currently sitting at the sixth seed. So for the Chargers, I don't think they're going to try and bend over backwards to do anything. This isn't a playoff game for them, but I would downgrade basically everybody but Omarion Hampton. Omarion Hampton is still a start for me. Guys who are not are Ladd McConkey, Keenan Allen, Quentin Johnson, and Rondé Gadsden. If you start anybody else, including Kamani Vidal, you're taking your life into your own hands there. The Broncos are a little bit of a different story. Bo Nix, if you have rode the ride with Bo Nix this season, and he has gotten you this far, then continue and finish. RJ Harvey is a start. Cortland Sutton, boy, is he confusing. I'm not really sure what to say to you if you're a Cortland Sutton person in the championship right now, other than congratulations. Fine, start him. You know what? Troy Franklin, flex. Great. Marvin Mims, no. Evan Ingram, no. That looks like it's about it for this game. Stu, to Sunday night for a championship game between two teams that most people thought were eliminated a month ago.
Yep.
Take us to Pittsburgh.
This is for the North. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. One of them's going to win. And it's probably going to be Baltimore.
Sure. I don't know. I think the Steelers could have something for them. Minus DK Metcalf, maybe, probably. I mean, I don't know.
They don't have a wide receiver on their roster.
Do they need one?
They're throwing to Roman Wilson. I don't know. Let's talk about the line. 3.5-point road favorites for the Ravens. 40.5 over under. The Steelers, you're starting Warren and you're starting Gainwell. They were both down last week against Cleveland. But honestly, Pittsburgh just could not get anything on offense going. And they did not want to give up that sack to Myles Garrett. So I would expect better times ahead for both of those guys, Warren and Gainwell. There's no pass catcher, zero pass catchers I'm interested in at all. Even Darnell Washington's now out for the season with a broken forearm. I say out for the season like it meant anything. But, I mean, they're running out Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Scotty Miller and Roman Wilson. Calvin Austin's hurt. DK Metcalf punched a guy. Did you see that guy's press conference that he threw?
I did. I'm going to avoid commenting on it, but I'm just going to give it a blanket. Come on.
I will comment on it. Don't wear a backwards hat with a suit. You look bad. Have some decorum. For Baltimore, Derrick Henry.
You said it, brother. You said it.
Derrick Henry is amazing. Congrats on all of your championships, Derrick Henry owners. Put him in your lineup. Take a victory lap. The big question is whether Lamar Jackson even plays in this game. He was held out with a back injury. I mean, they're playing for the division. I would think he's out there, but Lamar Jackson has had a season to forget, and it's been confusing. It hasn't made sense to me. Honestly, Baltimore just doesn't make much sense to me. So we'll probably see Jackson, but if we do see Tyler Huntley, just don't. Yeah, just don't.
Just don't.
Yeah. That's it. That's week 18.
That's week 18.
2025 fantasy season brought to you by Fantasy Foot Beer.
Woo! We did it.
Woo indeed.
Full season. All right. So, we will, I believe, be back next week to give you your Fantasy Football 2025 awards. But then we're probably going on a... Well, I don't know. We might go on a break. We might not. But that's something we got to talk about later this week. But for now, this is the ultimate, or maybe penultimate, beer drinking of the season. So, Stu, what are you drinking, buddy? I'm having a hard time getting words out for week 18, man. I don't know if you noticed.
It's been both of us, honestly. Well, I am going to talk about one that I have never sampled, but I am just a sucker for cats. I don't know if it came up on the audio, but I closed the door to our office, and Pixel has spent a good 75% of this episode just sitting there scratching at the door. Oh my god, I really hope nobody could hear that, but she was being louder than Indy.
This is the first time in the history of this podcast I have heard Pixel.
For real? Oh my gosh, it definitely came through the audio then. Oh man, she's unhappy that I closed the door. I will never do that again. But I'm going to talk about a cat beer. This is a hazy IPA from Insight Brewing Company. It's called the Motivational Cat Poster. And the label is just the cat hanging off the rope, and it says, "Hang in there, baby. You got a week 18 championship. Hang in there, baby." James, what are you drinking?
So, I mentioned at the top of the episode that I got a special one this week, and I do. This is one of the big names in the barrel-aged beer categories, game, whatever. I have, from Chicago, Illinois, checking in at 14.8 ABV, with a vintage of the year 2025, from Goose Island Brewing Company, the original Bourbon County Stout. Give it a little intro there. But the Bourbon County Goose Island line is one of the more famous seasonal offerings in the bourbon barrel age game. This one is kind of the flagship. I've actually never tried it, despite living in Chicago for a million years, 7 years, I think now. And being a big beer guy, I've never actually tried this. So I'm actually excited to try it for the first time with you on Fantasy Football. Foot Beer, that's the name of the show, Fantasy Foot Beer. And I'm going to crack it now in 3, 2, 1. It was a bottle. There wasn't actually a crack. Mm. But while I am pouring this, Stu, say whatever you want. It doesn't have to be last words, but whatever you feel is relevant.
Well, so sorry if you heard my cat this entire time. You know, just thanks for a great year. You know, we put out, what is this, episode like 36 or something like that? We were actually...
It's like 38 or 39, I think.
We were pretty consistent. We were pretty consistent about it. And we had a good time. We'll be back for like a debrief, I assume. Talk about the surprising things, talk about the bad things, the good things, maybe project a little bit into next year, too early rankings or something like that. It'll be a good little unwind. But then, you know, if you won, revel in it. You won a championship. You won a fantasy football championship. Many people have lived in this world. Not all of them are fantasy football champions, and you are one of them. So go buy like a hat or a ring or a poster or like a WWE championship belt, something like that. Just commemorate it. Tell all your friends. Everyone who is in your league, keep telling them. Just keep shoving it in their face that you beat them at a silly make-believe game about a silly child's game that grown men play in tights.
In tights.
Reach out to us on Instagram, X, Fantasy Foot Beer on both platforms. I don't know. Say thanks, I guess. If any piece of our advice helped you win a championship, I'd love to be thanked. I don't know about you, James, but why don't you take us home for the evening?
And if any piece of our advice screwed you out of a championship,
don't tell me, not Stu. Yeah, don't tell me.
Don't tell Stu. Blame me. I'm fine with it.
I'm really very sensitive. I would feel quite guilty.
But I have now tasted this beer. I'll give you a quick rundown of it. No, almost no head to speak of. It is a thick, viscous black, but surprisingly not full bodied. It's probably like upper medium bodied, but you know, you get strong coffee and vanilla bean notes, and you're here for fantasy football. I'm going to stop it with that. Anyway, thank you all for spending a year of your lives with us. We very much appreciate every single listen. We know who you are, and if you got Christmas presents this year, we told Santa to give them to you, so it's really us who gave you the presents. But I sincerely hope that you all had a successful season. And if you didn't have a successful season, I hope that it gave you something to learn, to grow with. Because we all, over the course of the season, are going to make some mistakes. There's very few perfect fantasy seasons out there. There's very few complete teams that are ever built. And if you are someone who built one of those, congratulations. Savor it. It's not going to happen all the time. Make this a moment. And if it's not you, figure out how you can build that for next year. We're going to be with you next year trying to do that ourselves. That's the reason why we're doing this, is because we are those obsessives who need to be really good at fantasy football. Stu and I are both, we've been in this a long time. We've been doing this for a long time. And it's something we care very deeply about. So we want to share that passion with you. That's why we do it. And we want to win as much as we want to help you. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts for sticking with us. We will be back next week. And we will be back to help you win and to try to win ourselves in the future. And for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat, for Indy the Dog, who is here but did not say a word. Good job, Andy. I'm James Kemp. Good night. good time.